The holographic projection was a synthesis and showed only the body of Christ, already crucified, and then emphasized the half-hour period after the crucifixion, maybe even longer, because I noticed it was already night. But, this is a very occulted aspect from that period because, as far as I know, there is no account, not even an approximate one, about the events that followed. In general, texts have only described facts and characters, many of whom do not coincide exactly with the ones mentioned in the Gospels, but not other very important phenomena that took place in that short time interval. I later reached the only viable conclusion, namely, that they have been removed from the collective memory and from written accounts because there was no correspondence with anything familiar and they puzzled people so much that they preferred to forget those amazing events. But, I saw, clearly everything that happened in amazingly realistic, holographic images. And I must admit that the phenomena that happened in those moments were truly frightening and would have shaken their conceptions and knowledge of our current society. At first, after seeing those images, I was forbidden to write about them. While I was watching the projection, Caesar explained to me, for each point, what I was allowed to write in the book and what I should not write. There were delicate aspects for that time that were political as well as ideological or religious in nature. Conditions were not favorable for certain revelations because the general situation proved unstable at the level of diplomatic relations between the United States and Romania. Now, however, there are new premises which make possible certain revelations of this so-called AIS, cred background. Even if many people might consider them absurd and unreal, I had the chance to see those amazing holographic images for myself and I was astonished. The images had a special emotional load and at the same time were very clear, which contributed to the drama of the situation and increased my capacity to empathize with the situation. The projections showed the dusk shortly after Jesus was removed from the cross. Then, something almost magical happened. I saw very dark clouds gather quickly in the sky and concentrate above the hill, descending very low and only a few dozen meters above the heads of the people still present there. I also saw threatening lightning coming from those violent clouds and it created apocalyptic images as I saw the terrified faces of the people who screamed with fear but who could not leave the hilltop even though they were desperately trying to do so. They seemed to spin in circles amongst each other without being able to understand what was going on. In the other areas of the sky, I also saw lightning and threatening storm clouds that were higher than the others. I then saw the signs of a terrible earthquake and I understood why those human beings were running at him with no apparent purpose, being caught by panic. Some crosses collapsed on the ground together with the crucified men, and on the opposite side, a massive landslide occurred which practically tore the small hill from a third of its space, making it look like a straight wall. I have also witnessed sequences which have left me breathless. In the darkness caused by the earthquake, slowly coming out of the violet clouds, two giant disks appeared in the sky. Their edges were marked by some sort of intermittent signaling lights which were orange and blue in color. Those lights seemed to go round those giant disks. A few seconds afterwards, over the hill and above the nearby town, huge cones of intense light were projected at certain intervals and lit everything underneath them up to the smallest detail. One of the disks remained above the hill while the other headed slowly for the town. At first, I saw how the men remained paralyzed, looking up to the two apparitions. They then started screaming. And judging by the looks on their faces and the fact that they were covering their ears with their hands, I assumed that the two disks were probably emitting terrible sounds that coincided with the projection of the giant cones of light. Those images truly seem taken out of a nightmare and have stayed very clear in my memory. Countless speculations might result from this, but I think they are useless. I saw things exactly as they happened and they cannot be ignored. Later, while talking to Caesar about this subject after our return from the expedition, he revealed to me that he had many chances to persuade himself during his time projections that such apparitions in the sky occurred quite often, especially in ancient times. Itatim is just a question of mentality and maturity of thinking that is required to understand the structure of life in the universe in order to correctly assimilate such historical events. I recovered quickly from the memories which had flooded my mind and asked Caesar, very interested, to tell me what was that ultra-secret element in Jesus's life, that was not presented by the Christian Church. I have witnessed the official meeting of what could, at that time, mean the management of the emerging Christian Church. Out of everything that happened at that council, which lasted for several days, itatim is only worth telling you that the competition between those who voted for the restrictive view of women and even for blaming them and those who wanted to keep traditions was quite tight. As usual, it was a process of manipulation. I saw almost in detail the important years of Jesus's spiritual mission, and I can tell you that he never preached about women in the manner that the Christian Church does today. On the contrary, I noticed that Caesar was very serious and at the same time very determined. When I first saw Jesus among his disciples on that hill, one of the three women was near him. She had a special personality and glow. She was the youngest and the most beautiful of them. I intuitively knew that she was the one called Mary Magdalene in the Gospels. And at the same time, Iatm realized that among their subtle threads of causal links, there was a very powerful connection between her and Christ. Iatm also perceived the fact that some of the disciples were not completely in agreement with that relationship because they somehow felt left aside. Only two of them did not share that opinion, which undoubtedly came from a vain perception of reality. From other projections or Akashic rewinds/Tarpmv had the chance to find out that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were together almost all the time. Only when Christ spoke to the crowds or to people in private were they not together. But, in the evening, I often saw them withdraw alone, just the two of them. Usually, she was the first to receive the initiation from him, and I was amazed to see that both the disciples and many of his followers practiced certain methods of purification and preservation of body health, especially on river shores where they had water at their disposal. I often saw Mary Magdalene guiding the people in these simple methods, and many came to her to ask for her help when Jesus was busy with others. I know these are radical aspects which seriously contradict what the Christian Church maintains, but nevertheless, they must be supported bravely because they represent the pure historical truth. Even if I was astonished with what Caesar told me, I was at the same time happy that the truth had not led to rejection in my mind. On the contrary, I felt a sort of a release and inner freedom at the thought that Manitim's soul is thus made whole again. On the other hand, I was aware that, nowadays, this truth has only a slight chance to be accepted and understood accordingly. The ditches of threats, punishments and damnation have been dug too deeply in people's minds during this current period of time. Nevertheless, the personal choice is essential, and therefore it is fundamental for the truth to be known entirely. Correct judgment, spiritual common sense and pure faith are, in my opinion, virtues that can help modern man a lot in making pertinent choices so as not to be stopped by the difficult obstacles of fanaticism or conceptual thick-headedness. When I was projected near that group, Jesus slowly raised his eyes towards me, looking up. Caesar continued. Of course, it was just my consciousness, but he felt my subtle presence and reacted accordingly. Even though he continued to speak to the others, I heard his voice in my mind at the same time clearly telling me it was very good that I was there and that my future investigations would create a complex chain of successive causalities that would greatly help those who would have the power to understand. Even for me, that was an extraordinary experience. The only moment I could not grasp in my time projections during that period was that of the Transfiguration. It was the same kind of time blocking which I have spoken about before, but could not overcome. Caesar suddenly fell silent. I felt that, even though there was still much to be told, he preferred not to tell me any more at this time. I knew that a certain step-by-step approach was always necessary in order to make possible the correct assimilation of the elements of the story. Besides, the moment of our departure was close and we had not slept. We were tired, but I still wanted very much to try for myself the sensation of time travel and connect to the mysterious installation. I saw Caesar smiling slightly. "Ao told you I was going to propose this very special experience to you. In your current condition, however, it is possible that you won't TMT accomplish it. Later TMSC, it is only up to you," he added, pointing me to sit down on the platform of the cylinder. The leap in time, I got up nervously and headed for the cylinder. Strangely, now that I knew what I was about to do, my movements were slower and my heart was pounding quickly. I could not TMT even speak. My teeth clenched and an overwhelming cloud of energy seemed to float over my head. I sat with difficulty on the narrow platform, and Caesar came near me to adjust the metal band with encrusted crystals on my forehead. He realized very well that I was very nervous and even a bit frightened, but he did not TMT say anything. I was trying to control and adjust my breath, concentrating on the inspired and expired air and imagining how it came in and out of the body, through the spine and out the top of my head. In the room, there was the silence of a tomb and I could only hear my breath, which, in the beginning, became relatively agitated and then more and more relaxed. I congratulated myself in my mind for having begun to practice the Tibetan techniques from the parchment given to me by the goddess Mukundi. They proved to be very useful during those moments. Understanding that I was more relaxed, Caesar slowly approached the metal band on my forehead and adjusted it to the height of my head. I only had the chance to think that it was like a tiara when I suddenly and clearly felt that my whole body was wrapped in a wave of very pleasant but intense energy. I had the certain sensation that the intensity of the surrounding light decreased and the shape of things became somewhat foggy. The middle of my forehead started to get hotter while my neck was swallowing and preventing me from breathing. I suddenly became sweaty and started to tremble because of the effort I was making to resist. Caesar then removed the metal band from my head. "Ao, the energy influx might be too strong for you," Aegis typified himself. "Ao, you need to relax." I did not TMT say anything, but right before removing the ATRATM from my head, I felt a sort of relief, a more normal energy flow. This was the reason why I asked Caesar, when I fully recovered after a couple of minutes, to try the experience again. He once again placed the crystal band on my forehead, and I felt that specific wave of pleasant energy invading my body again. It was followed by the strange perception of less intense light in the chamber, but this time I could breathe. Although breathing was a bit difficult, I could nevertheless breathe. The area on the middle of my forehead, however, was where one of the crystals touched my skin and was almost burning me. Even so, I was determined to stand that pain in order to continue the experience. I could not TMT think of anything because of the sensation of discomfort from my neck and the heat I felt on my forehead. Apart from this, I started to feel a bit worried when a sensation of nausea became more and more prominent and I could not TMT handle it. For a moment, I was struck with panic, but thinking that Caesar was near me and could intervene whenever necessary, I managed to control myself. As I was thinking about this, he removed the band from my head again. He was looking at me somewhat amused and did not TMT say anything. I described the symptoms and he estimated that they were within the normal limits even if they were unpleasant. "Ao, the only disadvantage is that you might not be able to experience the time projection now," he said. I had to admit he was right. Although I suspected it would not TMT be that way, I did not decide to quit either. This time, we waited a bit longer for me to relax. After almost 15 minutes, I decided to try again. I went through the same steps and sensations, but now I could breathe more freely and the sensation of nausea was just vague instead of alarming. I could not concentrate, however, and was more preoccupied with maintaining a relative state of inner balance and hoped that those unpleasant sensations would disappear. After a few minutes of agitation, I was strongly determined to abandon myself to the energy input from the huge crystal no matter the risks. I realized that, if I went on resisting like that, it was most probable that I could not TMT have obtained any result. I therefore closed my eyes and concentrated all of my attention to the top of my head. A strange phenomenon in a TM occurred. Suddenly, the environment turned black but yet lit. I do not know very well how to describe that state, but the clear sensation was that the utter darkness I was in was at the same time full of light. I could say it was a sort of clear darkness. Then, I immediately had the feeling that I was falling through a chute but upwards, not downwards. Although I was aware of all these states, I still knew that my thoughts were different, more complex, and heading for many directions at the same time. While I was preoccupied with those observations and sensations, I heard more and more clearly, coming from far away, a strange feminine voice which sounded very familiar. My heart started beating quickly as the darkness slowly faded and let me see the inside of the cave in Tibet where I had been a year before. I saw myself when Makhandi was touching my neck and forehead and felt even more strongly the emotion and ineffable state I was in during those moments. My forehead, however, seemed to be on fire, so my attention diminished and was oriented to the place where I felt pain. I then observed a fluctuation of the image, like a sort of jamming, which was followed by its total disappearance. I opened my eyes somewhat confused. I was still there in the occult chamber as Caesar looked at me with curiosity in the light surrounding us, which was very faint. I tried to get a grip of myself and give a certain coherence to my first time travel experience. I was sure that the device had taken and modulated in time the strongest impression from my subconscious, projecting me to a year ago in that location in Tibet. It was also alive and clear and even richer in experiences and perceptions than in the actual physical experience. I closed my eyes again, this time trying to project to a time of my own choice. I was desperately seeking out such a marker in my mind and trying to find out what would interest me most of all. I then noticed that the backspace in front of my eyes was a trembling, or, better said, made waves, and in certain regions, I saw small glimpses of images which later disappeared in fractions of a second. I felt my forehead become hotter and hotter and, out of desperation, I chose, out of millions of possibilities, to project to the time when the secret tunnel leading from the Great Pyramid to the occult chamber was built. The time projection was immediate but very rough, like a clash. I saw blinding lights in a triangular space, just like the tunnel we saw in the holographic images displayed by Aidna TMS computer. There was a complicated device emitting a laser ray or a different kind of ray which was blue colored and was cut in the aorica and the ground layers with hypericism. Around it, there were three beings who immediately made me feel a deep repulsion. They appeared to be human, but they were very different from us. I was so surprised by their characteristics and especially by the profoundly harmful empathic sensation I felt around them that my repulsion projected me back to the present reality. I opened my eyes right away and removed the band from my head with a spasmodic gesture. I could no longer resist the pressure on my forehead, which was extended to my eyes as well. I came down into the room and took a few steps to calm down. Seeing me so agitated, Caesar respected my silence. After all, we had plenty of time on our way back for me to tell him my experience in detail. I realized, however, how important it is for the mind to be relaxed, stable and firmly oriented. Otherwise, traveling with the airtime machinia would always be a useless agitation and experience with no end. I packed the last things together with Caesar and put them in the vehicles. I looked again at the mysterious place I had visited and where I had experienced so many amazing events in less than 24 hours. We then woke up the other three colleagues because we had to stick to the schedule of the expedition. After a few verifications, Caesar sealed the occult chamber by closing the enormous stone door. I got into the vehicle in silence and thought that I would have liked to be more focused and determined when I was connected to the time travel machine. I could only hope that, given this new course of my life, as an employee of Department Zero, I would later have the chance to improve myself and accomplish much more efficient time projections. Caesar checked the video and audio link between the three vehicles. Then, as usual, he looked at me, asking me with indolence if everything was okay. I nodded my head in approval. The vehicle started to speed up through the nebulous space of the tunnel, flooded in indigo light. As we journey homeward, I thought about the mysterious ruby crystal from the occult chamber. I felt that I would see it again in the near future.